Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Autism Stress Less podcast. Today, I wanted to talk to you guys today about maintaining your marriage. So I'm hopping on today to talk about that because I remember when we started this podcast years ago. We were living in Fairview Park, Ohio, and I remember sitting with Kevin in our bedroom and just talking with him about everything that was going on. And I was, you know, explaining, like, I wish that I had a podcast out there where, you know, there was a married couple or people who they just understood what we were going through, right? And so that's how the Autism Stress Less podcast came about. Kevin and I were just like, yeah, we don't really know anybody that understands wholeheartedly what we're going through as a married couple, as parents. You know, we were also in a blended family. So, I mean, there were so many things that we were just, I guess, wanting help with, needing help with at the time that we were like, well, since we can't really, you know, find what it is that we're looking for, maybe we could be a light to somebody else. And so that's why we started the podcast initially. We wanted to do it together. And then, of course, life got in the way. But Kevin ended up doing a YouTube page, Autism Dad Dad, which just, I mean, is amazing. I mean, he is amazing in front of the camera and how he helps so many people. And I stuck with the podcasting and the writing. And so it just worked for us that way. But with all of that being said, I mean, we maintained our marriage by, you know, seeking God first and by, you know, always trying to communicate and figure things out together. Even though there were times in our marriage where we were separated, you know, there was times where we would fight, we would argue, we had a hard time because, again, blended family, lots of different factors involved, which I won't even get into now. But as some of you can imagine, when you're in a blended family, not everybody gets along and not everything is copacetic. So we had a lot of troubles in our marriage at one point in time, you know, where it was just, we weren't for sure if we were going to make it. But I wanted to talk to you guys today about maintaining your marriage because I was reading this article. And the article was a featured article in the Autism Advocate, and it's called A Diagnosis of Autism is Not a Prognosis of Divorce, because early on, Kevin and I would talk about how we would read articles and things like that where it would state that a high percentage of marriages would fail if there was a special needs child involved. And so this article states, for years, an 80% divorce rate among parents of children with autism spectrum disorders had been widely reported in mainstream media and generally accepted by the community. Oprah, Dr. Phil, Jenny McCarthy, as well as major autism organizations reported this. It became an urban legend with no source or data to back it up. Even the popular television show Parenthood, which generally depicted Asperger's accurately, had an episode in 2010 called Date Night, in which an 80% divorce rate was reported as a fact. This article will attempt to set the record straight using available research and also provide insights and coping strategies from clinical experience supporting families. The assumption that autism causes failing marriages seemed believable. And I'll stop there because it really was. Like, Kevin and I, we went to several different conferences, you know, a few years back, and there was that assumption that when you had a child with severe autism or a child with severe special needs, that your marriage would fail. So the article continues, stress from dealing with related behavioral and medical issues and finding high quality services can increase tensions between partners. The divorce rate myth certainly called attention to autism and parental stress, but it did not reflect the reality on the ground where families were also courageously coping with challenges while passionately loving their child and trying to stay together. In June 2011, the Autism Society posted a blog written by Liz McGarry, an intern at Alternative Choices, summarizing a research study conducted at Kennedy Krieger Institute on the topic of marriage and children with autism. Several hundred people posted comments about the blog on the Autism Society's Facebook page. My parents are still married and we all love my brother to death. I think having an autistic son made our marriage stronger because we both love him and know we need to work together to make the best of life for him. After our daughter's diagnosis, the first question everyone asked was if the father was still in the picture. If I were the father of an autistic child, I would be very offended. Indeed, the myth not only painted the picture of the skyrocketing divorce rate, but also masses of deadbeat, irresponsible fathers. When considering the experiences among parents of children with ASD, it is critical to examine the research previously conducted on the topic. The field of ASD in general has become much more astute in examining ideas regarding characteristics of and treatments for ASD through the evidence-based lens, making judgments and drawing conclusions based upon high-quality research. So it seems interesting that the ASD community has not used the same criteria for drawing conclusions about the experience of parents, particularly in terms of relationships among couples. That said, when utilizing research to draw conclusions, it's important to keep in mind that each scientific study has its own set of strengths and weaknesses. Some studies are designed better than others, and some studies draw conclusions erroneously. In addition, no research study should be considered to contain the ultimate truth on a particular topic, since each family has their own unique experience raising a child with ASD. However, when taken together, these studies can begin to tell a story which brings us closer to understanding the situation for many parents of children with severe ASD. And so, you know, they just talk about a lot of research and things like that, but, you know, I'm going back to this topic because we were like up and down, up and down, up and down for a few years there. Our marriage was great. It wasn't great. Our marriage was great. It wasn't great. And that happens with people who don't have children with severe disabilities. You know, every marriage is different. And I think when having a child with severe disabilities, it does make your marriage stronger because, you know, you both are looking at your child as to how can we help him thrive? How can we help get the best services for him? How can we help him as best as we can? And you work together, you know, to do the right things for your child. I know at one point in time, you know, Kevin and I, it was so hard and he was just not for sure. You know, he was like, I'm not for sure if this is going to work out. And then I started to think, I don't think this is going to work out. You know, and that was the time in our marriage where we did separate for 5 months. And I remember, you know, even talking to my older son, Julian, and Jaden's biological father and saying, I don't know, you know, I honestly don't know what to do at this point because I want my marriage to work and I want our kids to be okay. And I just don't know anymore. Right. Because you come to a point where you're like, I don't know. I want to know, but you don't know because, you know, when you have a child with severe disabilities, you are always doing. And, sometimes you feel like it's not enough, but I'll stop there and say, now that, you know, we're in the situation that we're in, you know, Kevin and I, thankfully, we're still married, and I'm so grateful for him as a husband and as a father and as a stepfather. And, you know, life with our kids, you know, and the way things have been concerning Jaden, it has not been easy. Parenting is stressful, isn't it? It's super stressful. And then when you have a kid with severe disabilities, it can be extremely stressful. It's I would be lying to you if I said it was not extremely stressful. And the only way that I guess Kevin and I were able to decrease our stress was by having a support system in place for our family, you know, like making sure that we prayed with one another, but also going to a Bible-based church and, you know, having friends in church, a community of people who care and who really, you know, they just want to do life with you. So we did. We, you know, when we were separated, we weren't even really separated. We, you know, we still spoke to each other. There was a brief moment where we didn't. It was like literally like a couple weeks. And then we got back to talking to one another again. And, you know, we started to forgive each other. We just, you know, the Lord, I always say, what the Lord puts together, no man can separate. And that's what I believe, you know. And so with all of the stress that was taking place, we tried to stay positive in the face of the stress. You know, we tried to just map out a plan, right? A plan of action, like what can we do better this time around so that way this doesn't happen to us again, you know? And so it was asking for more help. It was making sure that he was, you know, making sure that Jaden was in a good school, making sure that everybody else was okay, you know, making sure that we were financially well. Like, all of these factors, they play such an important role in your marriage. So there was research on couples and relationships also, and it stated that the research on marital and couple relationships among parents of children with severe autism had not been widely conducted, right? So this article just goes on. It says it assumes that the child's well-being controls the family and parental stress levels. However, research is starting to point to the importance of parent and family well-being and its direct implications for the child's well-being. So the second possible reason that less research is conducted on parents and families is because parents themselves may not view this type of research as a priority. Most parents may not have the available time to participate in research. And then it goes on to say the research on couples suggests that many parents of children with ASD have significant challenges in their marital relationships. Marital satisfaction tends to be lower for parents of children with ASD than other couples. This is thought to occur because parents have little or no time to maintain their relationship, and they often have to work especially hard to connect with one another in areas unrelated to their child. And you know, there's that factor of being physically and emotionally overwhelmed and being isolated from communities and support systems, which we have found, like, I mean, it's so weird, you guys, because even with, you know, Jaden going through all of the things that he was going through, Kevin and I still remained strong. And then even when in November I was going through all of those emotional things and I asked for the help that I asked for, I mean, we still remained strong, even with like all of the parental stress and all of the things that were going on. We just made sure that we relied heavily on the Lord, and we relied heavily on our church community and our friends, you know, letting them know this is what's taking place. And you know, it's awful that life can get so crazy, you know, but this is what's going on, and you know, we want to make sure everybody in our family is okay. Please continue to pray for us, right? So we were just trying to keep connected with people, and it just, you know, we found that being in community with other people, it really helped us a lot. It really did help us a lot. We found, you know, we still have such good friendships now, and I'm so grateful for that, because you know, with Jaden going through all of the things that he's going through, you know, and all of the things that we're going through as a blended family, oh my goodness, like, what I want more than anything, in which I know you guys can empathize with it, is that you want everybody to work together for your child. And sometimes that's just not possible. You know, it's not possible when you have a blended family at times, you know, some it's just not possible for everybody. And so anyways, I'm going into the rest of the article where it just says, children with autism are fundamentally just children, and couples raising them are just couples. Any child changes the couple. While the birth of a child brings astounding joy, the partnership takes a big loss in terms of sleep, sex, privacy, you know, people shut down, and all kinds of stuff. A father could be sad, a mother could be tired, you know, it's just a lot of things happen, right, when a kid is in the picture. And then the article goes on to say, let's see, I'm going to go down here. While marriage is often on the back burner for parents of young children, when there's a child with autism, the marriage may often not be on the radar. While there are many self-help books about relationships, there's only one we are aware of which focuses exclusively on the complexities of relationships for couples raising children with special needs. In Married with Special Needs Children, authors Marshak and Prezant observe that many people insist that they will work on their marriage when things get easier. However, the stress is endless. According to the authors, being consumed with a child is not really good for anyone, including that child. And it's so true. It's so very true. You know, I didn't realize it until Jaden was staying with grandma and grandpa, where I was like, oh my gosh, like, this was not good for Kevin and I, but this was not good for Jaden either. You know, all of the stress, all of the things that I was trying to do, you know. But it states, hope for relationships can spring from the crisis that couples experience. Normal crises like childbirth, moving, financial problems, and trials in parenting can all strain the relationships. Many have observed ordinary trouble differs only in degree from strain caused by autism. While having a child with autism is a quantum leap from everyday problems, it nevertheless prepares us to learn and grow in ways we might have never imagined. By working hard to maintain the relationship, partners can preserve the love they have for each other. So that's what I hope for you guys that are listening today, is that with all of the everyday problems and all of the things that you're going through with your child, I pray that your marriage is intact right now. And I do pray that you work hard to maintain your relationships and that you preserve the love that you have for one another, because in the end, that's what it's all about. Rest less kill for the week is to love your spouse. The scripture I have for you is in Matthew 5, and it's in verse 43. You have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both good and bad people, and he sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for this? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about this? Don't even unbelievers do that? But you must always act like your Father in heaven. And so I could have read some of the scriptures about marriage, but I chose this one because it's so true. You know, I wanted you guys to know, like, you know, maintaining your marriage, it's not all about just, like, you know, doing things lovingly and adventurously and whatnot, especially when you're in the situation that you're in. But, you know, what does God say? You know, you should act like him. You know, you should love your enemies. Man, that's hard. Even in blended families, right? We're like, really? Like, I really have to love these people, Lord? Yes, you do. Unfortunately, you do. But, and that's me saying that. But it's true. You know, we have to love our enemies. We have to love even all the things that are going on in our families. You know, because he says he makes the sun rise on both good and bad people. He sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. You can't just love those people who love you, because then, right, what's the reward in that? So you must always love others like how God loves everybody. And that is very difficult, especially when you're going through a lot of things in your marriage. But I'm praying and believing that you and your spouse are, you know, loving one another. You're loving God first, and you're loving each other, and you're loving your family as best as you can. And if you're in a blended family, I pray that your situation is with peace, because it's very rare where there's blended families with peace. So that's what I pray for you today. If you're in that kind of situation, or, you know, even if you're adopted parents and you have children in your home that are extra effort kids and it's difficult, right? You're having difficulties with that child. I pray that the Lord give you a peace in your marriage, that you guys seek him first and you enjoy one another, and you enjoy your family and do the best that you can.